And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. Welcome to another presentation of the Gospel Herald, a ministry of the Lancaster Seventh-day Adventist Church. In several of our recent radio programs, we have been exploring the concept of faith, believing and expecting the Word of God to do what it says it will do. Today, we will be looking at a closely connected yet often overlooked problem that we, as Christians, face today. If you are alive and living in this modern American world, you are certain to have heard the debate over intelligent design versus evolution. Should the concepts of intelligent design and evolution be taught in our public schools or not? What is intelligent design, and what is evolution? We have just read from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 to 42, the story of Jesus and the healing of the leper. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. That will be the basis for our study today. Using that Bible definition of the work of God, we will also need a definition of evolution. For that, we turn to a secular source, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. In that dictionary, we are told that evolution is a process of continuous change from a lower, simpler, or worse, to a higher, more complex, or better state. It's the process of working out or developing. Evolution is almost synonymous with progress. It represents the course of the world as a gradual transition from the indeterminate to the determinate, from the uniform to the varied. It is a transition from lower to the higher, from the worse to the better. Thus, progress points to an increased value in existence as judged by your feelings. The cause of this process is inherently present within the world itself that is thus to be transformed. Notice the particular points. Evolution represents the course of the world as a gradual transition from the lower to the higher, from the worse to the better. It assumes that this process is inherently present in the world itself. That is to say, that the thing gets better of itself, and that which caused it to get better is itself. This progress marks an increased value in existence as judged by your feelings. That is to say, you know that you are better because you feel better. You know there has been progress because you feel it. Your feelings regulate your standing. Your knowledge of your feelings regulate your progress from the worse to the better. That is evolution. Now, in this matter of progress from worse to better, do your feelings really have anything to do with it? If they have, what are you? An evolutionist. Everyone who is listening today, who measures his Christian progress, the value of his experience by his feelings, is an evolutionist. You may have been a Christian for 40 years and denied the theory of evolution all the time, but you are an evolutionist just the same. All your Christianity, all your religion, is mere profession without fact, simply a form without the power. Let's look at evolution in another way so that we can see that it is infidelity. Then, if you find yourself to be an evolutionist, you will also be able to see that you are also an infidel. One of the branches of evolution has come from the science of geology. This so-called science has instituted the conception that there are great, vast, unimaginable periods of time in the past history of our globe. This is said to be an indispensable basis for understanding man's origin in the process of evolution. Progress has been made through countless ages, yet this progress has not always been steady and straightforward. It has been through many ups and downs. There have been many times of great beauty and symmetry. Then there would come some catastrophe or eruption, and everything would go to pieces. The process would start again, and things would build up again. Many, many times this process has been gone through, and that is the process of evolution, the transition from the lower to the higher, from the worse to the better. What has been the process of your progress from the worse to the better? Has it been through many ups and downs? Has your acquiring the power of the good works that come only from God? Has that been through long periods of ups and downs from the time of your first profession of Christianity until now? Has it appeared that sometimes, when you had apparently made great progress, that you were doing well, and that everything was nice and pleasant, that suddenly, and without a moment's warning, that there would come some catastrophe or eruption, and everything you had been working on for so long is suddenly spoiled? Nevertheless, in spite of all the ups and downs, you start in for another effort, and so, through this long process, you come to where you are today, and, looking back over it all, you can mark some progress, you think, as judged by your feelings. Is that your experience? Is that the way you have made progress? In other words, are you an evolutionist? Don't dodge the question. Confess the honest truth, for today we want to come completely out of being an evolutionist. There is a way to get out of it, and everyone who is listening today, who began listening to this broadcast as an evolutionist, can leave this program today as a Christian. So, as I describe an evolutionist, and you plainly see yourself, just say so. Admit it, and then follow along the steps that God will give you to bring you out of it all. Admit it, then quit it. The doctrine of evolution is directly antagonistic to that of creation. Evolution, as far as it goes, also looks upon matter as eternal. By assuming this, the notion of creation is eliminated. Now, look to yourself. If you suppose that if you are ever going to reach the kingdom of God, and you suppose that there is something within yourself that if given enough time you could get it to work right, and you expect it to work right, and you watch and mark your progress, then you are an evolutionist. Evolution, as defined by those who made it, tells us that the world came of itself, and was brought into the condition in which we find it today, by itself, and that it is, in itself, adequate to produce all that we see. Evolution is directly antagonistic to creation. You may not believe that the world came into being all by itself. You know that you are not an evolutionist as far as that goes, because you believe that God created all things, the world, and all there is in it. There is, however, another phase of evolution that is not absolutely antagonistic to creation. Those who develop this evolution are nothing but infidels, men without faith. Even if a person pretends to have faith and does not actually have it, he is an infidel. The Word of God teaches creation, but men, not knowing the Word of God, formed a sort of evolution with a creator in it. It was something they called theistic evolution. That is, God started the thing, whenever that was, but since that time, it has been going on by itself. God started it, and after that, it was able, of itself, to accomplish all that has been done. Friends, there is no halfway ground between creation and evolution. Whether you are one of this kind or not, and there are many who are of this kind who believe that we must have God forgive our sins and get us started on the way, but after that, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And they do fear and tremble, all the time, but they don't work out any salvation because they do not have God constantly working in them both to will and to do of His good pleasure. In Hebrews 11:3, we come to understand that the worlds were framed, put together, arranged, built by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The earth was not made out of rocks. Men were not made out of monkeys, apes, or some missing link. Apes, monkeys, and the missing link were not made from tadpoles or some protoplasm originally way back in the beginning. No, the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The reason those things did not appear is that they did not exist at all. When the Word of God is spoken, it causes things to be. It causes things that do not exist to be made. In Psalm 33:6-9, we read, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. For He spake, and it was." We must ask a question. How long was it after he spoke before the things were? How much time passed after he spoke before the thing was? No time at all. No time passed. Evolution is by a long process. Creation is by the word spoken. When God spoke, "Let there be light," there was light. Not a week, not a day, not an hour, not even a second passed between God speaking and the appearance of the thing. The man who allows that any time at all passed between God speaking and the appearance of the thing is an evolutionist. It is perfectly natural for the evolutionist to set aside the Word of God and to have no faith in it, for evolution itself is antagonistic to creation, for creation is by the Word of God. With that in mind, then, evolution is antagonistic to the Word of God. It takes so long a time for evolution to accomplish anything that it does away with creation. The evolutionist recognizes that creation must be immediate, but he does not believe in immediate action. Therefore, he does not believe in creation. Do not forget that creation is immediate. If it is not immediate, it is not creation, it is evolution. There is, in the Word of God, creative energy to produce the thing that the Word pronounces. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It has everlasting life in it. Let's see a Bible example of creation. You remember in Matthew chapter 8, the centurion and the servant he wished healed. He said, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." At that very hour, his servant was healed by faith. Israel had the Bible. They knew the Word of God. They boasted of being the people of the book, the Word of God. They read it. They preached it in their synagogues. And when it came right down to it, they said, "The thing ought to be done. We see the necessity of it, and we will do it. We will accomplish what the Word says." And then they did their best to accomplish it. It took them a long time, so long, in fact, that they never did it. What were they? Don't be afraid to say it. They were evolutionists. The Word of God said, "It will accomplish that which I please." There was creative power in that word, yet in their own lives they left all that out. They looked to themselves for the process which would bring themselves to where the Word and themselves would agree. Are you afraid to say they were evolutionists because you see that you have been there yourself? They were evolutionists, antagonistic to creation, for there was no creation about it. They were not made new creatures. No new life was formed within them. The thing was not accomplished by the power of God. It was all of themselves. So far were they from believing in creation that they rejected the Creator and crucified Him out of the world. That's what evolution always does, for do not forget that evolution is directly antagonistic to creation. The centurion was a Roman. He had seen Jesus talking and had seen the effect of his words until he said to himself, "Whatever this man speaks is so. When he says a thing, it is done." So he went to Jesus and said what is written. Jesus knew perfectly well what this man had on his mind, but when he said, "I will come," he was testing the man to see whether or not he really believed there was power in the word. The man said, "Speak the word only," and his servant was healed. When the word was spoken, was it a long time before the man was healed? 20 years? No. Didn't he have to go through many ups and downs before he was certainly healed? Honest now? No. No. When the word was spoken, the word did the thing that was spoken. And it did it at once. Jesus said, "Thy sins are forgiven." How much time passed before it was so? No time at all. No time passed between the word forgiven and the actual thing. That same word is spoken to you today. Are you an evolutionist? If you are, then admit it and quit it. Stop being an evolutionist and become a creationist. Let God and His Word work in your life today, right now, this very instant.